Welcome to Actions Antidotes, your antidote to the mindset that keeps you settling for less. In the last episode, we briefly touched a bit on spirituality and on how we're in a time period where things may be changing, may be evolving. We may be changing the way we're even thinking about spirituality and how it relates to everything else that we're doing in life. Today, I would like to bring you on Wendy Watson, who is the CEO and founder of TBR Spiritual Health, to talk a little bit more specifically spiritual therapy. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Beginning with what you do with your spiritual therapy, I know you have a few different offerings with your business and a few different manners in which you work with your clients, but tell us about what it means to go into spiritual therapy and how it relates to any of the endeavors that we all have in our minds.
Yeah, so I really focus on getting the individual person in touch with their spirit, their higher self, their intuition, and whatever is above and beyond that for them. I have no judgment on whether or not you call it God or Vishnu or Freya or whatever vocabulary, whatever name you use. I just want to get you in touch with it so that you can communicate and develop your individual relationship with yourself and whatever is above and beyond for you, rather than what people tell you your relationship with God should look like.
And so your clients, when they come to you, are most of them in a place where they already have some sort of a spiritual tradition? Or do you commonly get people who come with absolutely no, purely like everything's just logic, science, and how atoms come together, blah, blah, blah?
No, I get people that already have some sort of relationship already established, whether they grew up Catholic or Christian or very much into the spiritual world, more on what people call the woo-woo side. I get all walks of life. Really, all I do is I try and build on what they've already cultivated for themselves and get them to look at that more on their own, helping them to define it for themselves. Like, okay, what does that mean to you versus what has somebody else told you that it means? And how can you use that in alignment with yourself? And how can we set up a self-care routine in order to keep your spirit clean, in order to keep you in connection with spirit, with God, with whatever you want to call it?
We can get really caught up in our day-to-day lives and get really busy. So most people that come to you, are they people who just generally had the time? Are they generally too distracted? Are they generally too, constantly busy? I'm from New York where everyone's constantly busy all the time, and that's a code of honor. What state is that relationship with the spiritual usually in when people come to you?
So I get a lot of people with high anxiety, depression, suicidal tendencies, or suicidal thoughts. They're so focused on the right here and the right now that they're in fear of the future, or they just feel like the future is not coming to them. Something along those lines. I deal with a lot of entrepreneurs, which, right, are busy, busy, busy. They're very task-oriented. And so it's like, okay, being task-oriented is great in business. But once you're done with it, you have to have the life-business balance. So yeah. When you're done with business, what does that look like so that we can do the self-care? And most people are used to the nutritional self-care, right? Eating healthy, getting their exercise in. Some people are familiar with mindfulness or meditation, or at least going for a relaxing walk, something along those lines. But just as it feels good to take your car to go get a car wash after a storm, It feels even better when you can clear the spirit. As entrepreneurs or as people that are very task-oriented, you deal with a lot of people on a daily basis, right? If it only takes 7 seconds to make 11 judgments about somebody, that's a lot of energy in a very short amount of time. Would you not agree?
Yeah. I mean, I said, well, for a reason.
Yeah. Right. But you don't just spend 11 seconds with somebody. You spend 30 minutes or an hour talking with somebody. And then think about how many people you deal with on a weekly basis. So clearing your spirit of their energy, of the grime, of the different energies that you've taken on throughout the week, and being able to do a spiritual bath or do whatever works for you, whatever we can create for you, to just clear that energy off and refresh the spirit.
And so people oftentimes phrase self-care in the categories of mind, body, and spirit. And so, you know, there's a body, mind, and spirit expo here in Colorado. I think it's twice a year. So you talk about the body stuff, obviously, being what you eat, how much you move, and then the mindfulness. Is the mind the spirit? Is that a separation that people oftentimes kind of forget to consider when they think about self-care?
So to me, I don't know if you can tell on the bottom corner of my screen, I have like these 6 points of energy. So you have your physical and your nutritional that we've already talked about, but then you have your mindset, your emotion, your spirit, and the overall importance of love for energy, right? And they all work with each other and affect each other in some way, shape, or form, right? You go through a breakup, you're going to emotionally eat. You're going to eat that pint of ice cream or binge drink. If you ate something that you weren't supposed to eat or it didn't sit well with you, you're not going to feel energized to go exercise.
Yeah.
Or it may impact your mental capabilities and your problem-solving skills. Mm-hmm. To me, all 6 points interact with and affect each other. So that's what I focus on, is all 6 points of energy. And how can we get you into 70% of, at least 70% of alignment with that?
70% of alignment. Now, is that something you can measure? Like, is it easy for me to look at, say, what I do with my day and write down a list of activities and actually come up with a percentage, like I am this many percent in alignment with who I am? Or is that something more of a general estimate?
I think that's up to the individual person and how their brain works. I'm able to do that. But then again, I've been working on it for a few years and I've been able to teach other people how to do it, but other people struggle with that. And we need to use a different method. So I think it all depends on how their brain is wired.
Mm. And I was just thinking that specifically because you mentioned really task-oriented people. And I just envision a task-oriented person also being a one that's going to say like, well, how do you know I'm 72%? How do you know I'm not still 69%? Or, you know, and really kind of zone in on that number.
Right. Well, and that's up to them, right? In that case, I would just say it's more of a generalization. It's not like we're going to know whether it's 70.5%. versus 71%.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess he is the point where you're talking about like not expecting perfection, you know, is really kind of what you're getting at, right? Like you're not going to be perfectly aligned and you're not going to avoid ever having that one day that just feels so out of alignment and you end up so drained. It's just about what happens more often than not.
Yeah. Like where are you at the majority of the time? Right? Because somebody is going to say something that's going to catch you off guard, or you're going to get frustrated because you had to drive in traffic on the way home.
Yeah.
Right. You're always going to have something that's going to try and throw you out of balance. It's learning the tools or how to pull energy from different sources or set up the self-care or any of that stuff to help you keep in alignment and not allow outside sources to pull you out of it.
So I think we're all aware at this point of what like your standard offering self-care, you know, routines are a lot of, you know, meditation, napping, baths, sometimes like hikes in nature and stuff like that. In the world of people's thoughts about self-care, is there anything you feel like we generally get wrong or need to rethink or kind of overlook as potential versions of self-care?
I think there's an infinite number of ways that you can develop your self-care routine. I just had a client create a self-definition board, right? So kind of like how some people are making affirmation boards.
Yeah.
She did not know how to define herself. So instead of doing an affirmation board, we did a self-definition board.
Interesting.
And so she came up with adjectives of how she would define herself. And she wrote down definitions for them on a piece of paper. But then she made this collage of a board with all the different adjectives on it and put it up on her wall. So I think some people get very boxed in on what they think self-care should look like. If you can open your mind just a little bit, you can create anything for yourself right? So there's all kinds of different tools like drums and pendulums and herbs that you can use. Some people are very aware that sage is a cleansing herb, right? So is Palo Santo, right? So if you don't have a half an hour to do a meditation, you could just sage yourself for 30 seconds and you'll feel an energy shift. You'll feel the change. And then you can go on and go about your business. So it all depends on like what works for you, what your timeline looks like, how much time do you have for self-care, that kind of stuff.
Now, I know that different people have different amounts of time and some people don't have that hour to take a bath or do like even a 10-minute meditation practice. Do you ever challenge people though on prioritizing their time use? Because, you know, I know for a fact that people waste a lot of time, for example, scrolling through social media, one of my business interests there. Do you ever try to get people to remove things from their lives that are either a waste of time or both a waste of time and really bad for their self-care?
100%. We need to figure out what's not working for you, so that we can create the space to bring in those things that do work for you. To me, it's just as important to know what's not working as it is to know what is working. Because if it's not working, let's get rid of it. Let's take it out of the closet, donate it, do whatever, you know, yeah. Be generous in reciprocity, but also creating the space to bring in something new that might work better for you.
Obviously, something's not working. You still want to replace it with something. Otherwise, you're just going to go back to it based on, you know, whatever habits you have mapped into your brain. Now, you're saying that all things are individual. Are there any general things that you try to like steer people toward or away from? Like, is there any general guidelines, kind of like how people say, like the meditation, the bathing, all that stuff? Or do you come at it with a completely unbiased, like, I'm going to look at solely on what the individual I'm talking to is working with?
So if it's an environment like this where we're on a podcast, Yeah. There are things that I love to generalize, mm-hmm. right? I always encourage and challenge people to at least find 5 to 10 minutes to just focus on your breath and to just take a moment to ground, center yourself, whatever it is, especially depending on how your kids are acting that day, or if your kids are very rambunctious and you're about to go in the grocery store, please take the 5 minutes before you get out of the car to just focus on your breath and calm the whole energy down inside the car before you get out and go into the grocery store, because it's going to make your experience and everybody else's experience a little more pleasant. Right. But when I'm working one-on-one with somebody, then I will come in completely unbiased and hear from them first on what they've already tried and what's worked and what they've already tried that doesn't work. And then I'll present some tools and they tell me what resonates with them and what doesn't resonate with them. And then we'll go on from there.
Are there any general trends or general common practices today that you generally would advise kind of a broader audience against doing? Anything that you're seeing is just missing the mark?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that question. I would just be cautious of anything that is medicinal, right? And just make sure that you have done your due diligence to find the proper provider with the right ethics and morals for anything that's medicinal.
I think I know broadly what you're saying, right? Like,
I think so.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know you want to be cautious about it because, you know, different things are going to work for different people. I know, you know, I do try to do some of the standard, you know, meditation, you know, mindfulness stuff, but also as a pretty solidly extroverted person, I know that I need some practices that, quote unquote, as I put it, fill my extrovert cup, you know, which sure. is often very different from what most mindfulness talks about.
Right. Well, you need to find all of those things that fill your cup, right? If you're an extrovert and you need that large amount of energy transition, right? And be dealing with people and have that very enthusiastic conversation, right? Then you need to go out to a comedy club or go to a concert or whatever it is in order to fill that cup. If you're an introvert, you need to find your quiet time, right? So I'm an extroverted introvert. So I love dealing with people and communicating and all of those things. But then at the end of the day, I need my quiet time where I can just tune in, either tune into the boob tube or tune into music or whatever it is, to where I need to just shut down.
That makes sense. And then you also said that you work with a lot of people who are dealing with some really, really heavy things. You know, like we talk about the depression, anxiety, and suicide. Is there anything going on in the world today that you feel like is leading to this being so prevalent right now?
And I'm going to say this cautiously because of the conversation that we had prior to the recording, is just the polarity that's going on in the world right now is causing a lot of anxiety, a sense of overwhelm in a lot of people. And I'm not saying one side or the other. I'm just the pure energy of how diverse the polarity is.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then when you start working with a person who has that type of, you know, anxiety, depression, is there a base level where you have to, like, you know, before starting with anything really deep and you need to just kind of get them out of this, like, almost suicidal tendency? Is there, like, almost like a standard therapy component, like listening, letting them vent to it, that, you know, needs to start with the program?
Yeah. So my first session with anybody, any of those particular clients, is always just listening and having them explain to me as much as they can about what they're experiencing, what they're going through, how long it's been going on. Number one, it's information gathering for me. And Number two, it's allowing them the opportunity to feel safe in sharing their experiences.
Right? Yeah.
So one of the clients that I'm working with right now, she's had nightmares every day for years. And after one session with me, she went a whole week with no nightmares and ended up having her first full night's sleep where she didn't wake up at all.
Oh, wow.
And after a month, she's only had two nightmares in 30 days.
So oftentimes you have to, like, kind of get someone, dig them out of, like, you know, whatever emotional hole they're in before you start working on building that spiritual connection and having that connected to, you know, whatever life results they're trying to get.
So I don't try and dig them out. What I try and do is get them in touch with their energy. With this particular client, I had her start doing body scans, just energetic body scans, so that she can get in tune with her body, get in tune with her energy, find out where it's muddy, where it's really slow, where it's blocked, or where it's flowing really well, and teach her how to move that energy down and out through her feet. And the more she does that, the more she's regulating her own energy and teaching her how to set intentions with that energy. So if there's a mood or an adjective or something that she wants to apply to that energy, and having that move through her body, permeate her cells, go through all the tissues, everything else, get on all the creases and crevices of the body, and let that energy have her dictate her own energy. And the more she does that, the happier she is. The more she's figuring out who she is, the less she's binge eating, the fewer nightmares she's having. And she hasn't had any suicidal thoughts since January.
And that's wonderful, because one of the things that I do personally find really sad right now is the prevalence of these suicidal thoughts, because, you know, it represents a mindset of, like, not having any hope, really. Because if you have hope, you're probably like, oh, well, I can get through this, get to the next phase of life or whatever. I know a lot of people listening and a lot of entrepreneurs tend to be really focused also on results, you know, what I want to get. But I'm guessing you try to focus less on those specific tangible, like, I want to earn $250,000 in my business next year or something. And it's more about building that, you know, that energy flow that'll get you whatever results you eventually want.
Right. So let's focus on the energy and the communication for, I mean, everybody wants tangible results. The challenge is how do you quantify spirituality?
I know some religious organizations that like to try, but yes.
Right. So I just said it was a challenge. I didn't say it was impossible. So what I would like to do with entrepreneurs, right, is get the energy right, heal the emotional aspects that are keeping you blocked from making that $250,000 this year, right? And then work on manifesting it. Because we can only truly manifest when we are clean. Otherwise, all of these other emotions and triggers and sense of overwhelming and anxiety, if you go into a sales meeting all hyper anxious or depressed because you haven't paid your rent yet this month or whatever the situation is, nobody wants to buy from that energy. Energy is a communication, is a natural form of communication that's unseen.
Yeah.
Right. So even though you may not be aware, you may not know that you're communicating that way, you're still communicating that way. And people can read your energy. So if you go into a sales meeting with an unhealthy energy for that particular person, or even for yourself, and you're not in your authenticity, people aren't going to buy from you.
And it's kind of weird because I think most people sense it. They just don't really kind of state it in those words. When people say like something about that person was just a little off, or this person kind of rubbed me the wrong way, or, oh man, I love being around that person. That's all like this energy communication that people just aren't in general, not aware that it is an energy communication.
I hear that from people all the time. They're like, I met this person, but there was something a little off and I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna keep my space.
Feelings are right too. At least I've noticed whenever I've had something come into my life and been like, ah, oh, something's off about this person. And then they do something really sus and you're like, oh, wow. You know, I guess that was the right instinct.
Right. You know, you ever walk into a room, right? And you're looking for the ambiance of the room or the restaurant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing. You're feeding off the energy.
Yeah. It presents an energy, kind of like how Applebee's, you know, intentionally presents this like really busy, too many decorations energy as you walk in.
Right. Or, you know, romantic relationships or restaurants have dim lights. They have darker colors. They have bigger booths.
And way to bring it to, since you mentioned, you know, all the different forms of energy, including your nutrition, way to bring it to a somewhat healthier destination than Applebee's. So,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with Applebee's. I love going to Applebee's for a good football game and, right?
Definitely. And now in your business, you're exposed to a lot of people who, you know, have different types of energies and their energy problems. What do you do personally to keep your energy in the balance where you want it to be?
Right. So I have my self-care routine, clearly. The most important thing that I was taught as a massage therapist in regards to energy, which I love teaching people, especially other healers and other empaths. You remember in the movie ID4, Independence Day, they go to attack the mothership, and then all of it, when they fire the lasers or the bombs or whatever, you see this green field. Like, you don't see it at first, but once it hits, then you see the green force field around it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's really important to have a strong force field. I think the Bible talks about it as keeping your circle or something like that, right? You don't allow anybody inside your circle that isn't trusted or, you know, that isn't a clean energy or whatever. So when I'm working on somebody, I have energetic boundaries and I don't let their energy penetrate my force field, if you will, so that I don't take it in. It's already hard enough to deal with our own stuff. It's 10 times harder to get rid of something that you took in from somebody else that you don't even know what it is.
So you found a technique to, you know, have that armor, that force field to avoid taking in the energy of every single person you come in and see. Now, is this something you also teach your clients how to do? You know, because eventually you're going to start doing things. And that feels like the next level. Like, once you be able to control the stuff around you, then you can build that armor.
Right. So once you get in tune with yourself and you figure out what your energy is, that is the next important stage to be able to set those energetic boundaries so that you don't start then taking in more stuff from other people. Right. So it's kind of like quieting the noise so that you can focus on your energy Because if you're still taking in energy from other people, you're never going to be able to tune in and focus on yours.
Are there stages in this journey where people need to do certain different things? I think I see a lot of people talk about spiritual awakenings and having to like distance themselves from certain groups of people or even go on a retreat from the world for like a period of time during that journey.
Absolutely. People are energy. So if it's an energy that's in conflict with yours, that's not complementary to yours, then obviously distancing yourself from that energy, from that person would be ideal. And I'm a firm believer, you know, back 1,000 years ago, or, you know, even a few hundred years ago, as a young adult, people would take their journeys, right, in order to become an adult, whether it was a male and he went camping and he had to go kill a bear to prove his manhood or whatever it is. I believe that we should all have that journey of some kind, whatever that looks like for you, to where you go and you figure out who you are and you figure out how to manage yourself and define yourself and what works for you and what doesn't. You know, when I was going on this journey for myself, I really had to distance myself from my family. My family is very much Orthodox Christian. God bless them. I love them. But I needed to figure out what my relationship with God looked like without their influence, because what mine looks like is far different from what theirs looks like.
Now, did this look like a retreat? I guess that's the other, you know, self-care stereotype right now. Or did it just look like a period of time where you just like distance yourself, like from your family or from the specific people who were, as you said at the beginning of this podcast, telling you what your relationship with God was, as opposed to you figuring it out based on how you feel?
It's not like I went to the Maldives for a year, you know, anything like that. But it was more of a personal, like, energy retreat, just like space, didn't talk to him as often, didn't talk to him about any of the personal or the deep stuff. It was mostly more superficial conversation when we did talk. And, you know, the more I am grounded and the more confident I am in my relationship, then I can start letting a little bit more out and out with them as far as little tasters to kind of see what their limitations are as far as what they want to hear from me.
Yeah.
Right. What they're comfortable with. Cause I don't want to make them uncomfortable either. Right. So now it's like finding that new balance and finding that new relationship.
Now, to this period of time, was this when you decided to start your business?
No, this was, after my second divorce and loss of a child. And I needed to go on my spiritual journey and figure out what the heck I was doing and why I was making the decisions I was making and why I was picking the people that I was picking. And a lot of those habits that I was making at the time stemmed from my family.
Interesting.
So I needed to distance myself from that to figure out what habits I wanted to get rid of and what new habits I wanted to bring in. If you spend time around the habits that you don't want, it's harder to get rid of, right? It's like an alcoholic that's trying to get clean. But if you spend time with alcoholics, it's going to be really hard for you to stay clean or to get clean.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're around emotionally immature people, but you want to emotionally mature, one doesn't feed the other.
Makes sense. That whole show me your friends, I'll show you your future phrase. I think that's the quickest, most generic way people put it.
Yeah.
Also, like the average of the five people you spend the most time around, that one's probably heard a little bit more often. But yeah, that idea that like you want to surround yourself with that energy, you know, the ones that match. So what did prompt you to start your spiritual health business?
So I was a massage therapist in Phoenix for 12 years, and I slowly was adding it into my business there. And then in October of 21, through my communications with God, was called to move to Denver and rebrand and close up shop in Phoenix. So I did just that on pure faith, closed my business, sold my house. My dog also ended up with a brain tumor and put her down. So it was literally like clean slate, start fresh, and moved up here and settled in and be like, okay, now what? And so January of 23, started rebranding and getting away from the massage and getting more into the spiritual world and or the spiritual therapy. And so I've been rebranding it since January last year.
What does a TBR stand for?
To be revealed.
To be revealed. So one of the interesting things about this is that it's like the process that brought you to the business is exactly the process that you teach in your business, that connection with the spiritual and quieting all the noise. And then you came in, you know, moved, rebranded all like on faith. Did you get any strange reactions to it from your family or from anyone else? Did you have like any self-doubt that you had to overcome?
I was in full faith. So there was no self-doubt. I didn't know what lied ahead. So there was a lot of uncertainty. But I have learned to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I did get some flack from my family. You know, I spent 25 years in San Diego and 19 years in Phoenix. And they're like, you realize it's cold up there. There's snow. And I'm like, yes, I'm aware of that. And they're like, are you going to be able to handle it? You know, they were testing me and asking me all the questions, which I was great. I'm okay with being tested because I'm strong in my decisions and I'm strong in my faith and, you know, all that stuff. So I was okay with it. It was also getting them to be okay with it. You know, I did move out of the house when I turned 18. I moved to Indiana for like 3 months and I thought I was moving for the rest of my life, right? Because you're 18.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Finally getting out of the house, and it lasted 3 months. I was like, this is not the right environment for me. And so they're like, remember when? I was like, I was also 18. I am now 40 something years old.
Like, it's different.
Like, I'm a grown woman now. So, right. So changing their mindsets a little bit too.
You know, I know generationally there was kind of this like traditional vision for people. A lot of younger people, you know, particularly the millennials and Gen Zs, are trying to break away from that kind of traditional path and try something new. And I know there's a lot of people where it's just very, very unfamiliar to them. It's very much like, you know, why would you go for this weird starting a business thing where you have to endure all the uncertainty, you have to do all this extra work? Isn't it just makes so much more sense just to, you know, get a job or, you know, do what's considered traditionally normal?
No matter what your theology and ideology is, I believe that people are here to help test you to figure out what you really want. If you have an idea of what you want to do, and then somebody comes out and they start asking you questions or start questioning your motives or whether or not you'll be successful or anything like that, I think that's just there to be, test you and be like, is this what you really want? Because if you really want it, then just go get it. Because otherwise, you're going to be sitting there questioning the rest of your life, whether or not you should have, you could have, you would have. And I'm sorry, but that doesn't sound like a very fun way to live to me.
No. And then it's something that seriously does get a little bit scary for sure.
For sure. Humans don't like change and humans don't like uncertainty, right? So it is a little bit scary, but you won't know the true power of what you are capable of doing or what you are capable of becoming unless you're willing to take that leap and you're willing to be scared for a minute.
And what happens is if you never take that leap, if you never try anything, it's just kind of like you're just going through the motions. And it, to me, never felt like you're really fully alive, to be honest.
I call it meandering.
Mm.
You're just kind of meandering. You're just kind of floating around, figuring out what to do next instead of being fulfilled, like spiritually, emotionally, mentally fulfilled on whatever your path is supposed to do. You're not learning new perspectives. You're not learning new skill sets. You're not learning new mindsets. You're just kind of there.
You're just kind of there. Now, you said humans don't like change, yet there's kind of somewhat of a consensus or somewhat a lot of people thinking that like we're kind of going through a time of, you know, a lot of change. Obviously, we've seen a lot of change with, you know, traditional religions as well as with technology and spiritual type of stuff. What do you see is happening, you know, with regards to any of these practices and where do you see kind of our spiritual lives going over the course of the next decade?
I feel like humans are moving more towards being more individualistic, like figuring out how to define themselves, what their relationships look like, right? All that stuff. But also, it's so much more of a global economy now than it ever has been. So I feel like people are going to start just broadening their horizons, right? How many podcasts are out there nowadays, right? You can there's literally like a podcast on anything and everything, from cats to dogs to fishing to cooking to any theology and ideology you want to name. Like, they're all out there. And I believe that people are just, in general, starting to broaden their horizons and look at new perspectives and learn new things and just figuring out what works for them instead of what has been working in the past, which I think is going to take us on a new trajectory.
Even when we think about like what people consume, right? Like, there is this saying that the 2000s, you know, so I believe in this idea of a quarter century nostalgia cycle. And what that means is that at any given time in the recent past, you can always look at nostalgia, and the nostalgia always looks to the period of time 25 years before that. So, you know, it goes from like Happy Days to the Wonder Years to that 70s show to, you know, anything now. But that the 2000s is actually going to be the last decade that actually subjects itself to this 25-year nostalgia cycle, because the monoculture is going away. So like, in any of those time periods, you think, you know, that 70s show, in the 70s, everyone was like generally listening to the same music, watching the same things. And so there's a 70s culture, there's an 80s culture, a 90s culture, a 2000s culture. But then starting, you know, somewhere around there, you end up with like not one specific culture. You think of Spotify or Netflix, it's presenting you the stuff that you want to see as opposed to the top 40 or whatever it is. Do you see anyone having some challenges with these changes?
Yeah, all the people that don't want to change or that aren't ready for change are the ones that are dealing with the challenges. I think the ones that are stuck energetically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, those are the people that are not embracing the change. I don't even know anybody these days that really listens to the or wants to listen to the news. Everybody screams anymore in order to get away from the news, right? And almost every single person that I have spoken to, at least over the last year and a half since I've been in Denver, and I've spoken to people in the Netherlands, in Jamaica, all over the world. And every time I talk to somebody, they're like, have you heard of this person? Or have you heard of this book? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that person. I haven't heard of the. So they're like, people are broadening, you know, such a global economy now. You got Amazon and KDP and the books and everything that are global, and the streaming services that are global, and E360 TV that's global. You can get information from anywhere at any time. And with, I don't know, how many people are on this planet? Like over a trillion?
7 trillion, I think.
Like there's no.
Oh, billion, sorry.
Right. Okay, a billion people on this planet. Like, what are the odds that you're actually going to know at this point that you're actually going to know who they're referring to? Or, you know, I love the fact that people are constantly giving me new books and giving me new names of people to follow. I can't keep up with it all, but I love the fact that everybody's got something new and following somebody different and following a different book and, you know, just getting out there.
Yeah, I guess the challenge now is like figuring out a way to process through like exposure to like everyone and everything.
Back to your question earlier, that would be the challenge, right? Is that you have over information, right? You go to a restaurant, there's 200 items on the menu. You get human brains get overstimulated and they can't make a decision. So with all of this information at hand and so much information at hand, it's like, okay, now how do you dial it down and get through all the static and disperse and figure out what works for you?
The actual TMI, or what I refer to as, this is the real issue with TMI, not what people usually refer to when they say that.
Yes, you can have too much information.
Yeah, and our human capacity to, you know, absorb it all. Finally, before we go, if anyone listening wants to get a hold of you, anyone is interested in your services, joining one of your groups or anything like that, what would be the best way?
So my website is tbrspiritualhealth.com, or you can reach me on email at wendy@tbrspiritualhealth, or you can text or call me at 720-782-6090.
You even got a Colorado area code, so you kind of went full in when you moved, which is really good for you. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for joining us today on Actions Antidotes, telling us all about like what we're observing, how we can all get in better touch, and how we can all protect our energy, and you know how our energy relates to all the different components, the physical, the mental, the emotional, I mean, the six that you have on your diagram.
Yes. Well, thank you for having the platform. Thank you for having me as a guest. It was a very interesting and thoughtful conversation.
Well, thank you very much. And I also want to thank everyone out there listening for tuning into Actions Antidotes. Hopefully you're getting inspiration as well as the ideas on how to enact your vision for life. Or if you don't know what your vision is, how to develop the practices to start figuring out what you were meant to do.